Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. It is so good to be back with you today. Sorry, we are a few minutes behind. Every once in a while, our wonderful systems decide that they have other plans and try to do something off in left field. But we're here and we're live, so it's so good to be with you. I don't know if you have students in your home or grandchildren in your home when they go back, our kids go back to school tomorrow, but today they have their little drop-in at school so they can meet their teachers. And of course, my wife, Sarah, is a teacher, so she's there all day today. So here in the studio, well, running around somewhere, I have three of our four kids. So they may pop in, they may say hello. We will see. I always get nervous whenever I'm doing a live stream and they're around because you just have no idea what can possibly happen. But if they stop in, I'm sure you won't mind. But yeah, so they are here. And Bob, my youngest, went to daycare this morning. And man, you don't know heartbreak until you have to see your three-year-old who is sometimes obsessed with me and so bad wanted to come with me today. And so he had thought we were all riding in the other car. So he had gotten in that. And then we got into my truck. And as we were backing out the driveway, he sees me backing out and he just puts his hand on the window and starts yelling, "Dad," like realizing that we're leaving and he's in the different car. Life's hard, but he'll have a good day at daycare, I'm sure. But anyway, so that's what we're up to. That's what we're doing. But good morning. Good to see you. Good morning, Cheryl. Good to be on with you. If you are joining us on the live on a platform that you can like, comment, subscribe, share, please do all the above. It helps us keep this live going out in front of people. And that's what we are here for, is to help people and help us start our day right. So thanks for being on with me today. All right. Well, I want to jump into a four-day mini-series, if you will, talking about and looking at the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, it's something that obviously most people, even outside of, you know, Christianity, would know of the Lord's Prayer and know a little bit about it. But I think sometimes we can brush by it, look at it as a religious thing that is said. But I want to dive a little bit into it today. So if you have a scripture, a Bible, something, you can find this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to dive into this, and we're going to look at it over the next 4 days. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the Lord's Prayer. It says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Hey, come on, that's a good prayer, right? 66 words in total, and it takes about 30 seconds to read that out loud. So I want to challenge you for the rest of this week is I don't want to just teach on the Lord's Prayer. I want us to really get this into our spirit. So would you commit during the next 4 days to memorize the Lord's Prayer with me? Would you commit to putting it on a postcard or on your mirror or putting it as the screensaver? I do that a lot on my phone, and so that every time I go to open my phone, it's there and I just stop and say, "Hey, I'm going to read this for a quick second." Anytime, you know, David said, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." Having access to the word doesn't change us. Even just reading the word doesn't change us. But having the word hidden in our heart, scribed or written, if you will, in our spirit and in our heart, that's what brings change and lasting impact. So I just thought to myself, well, I'm going to commit. You know, most of us kind of know the gist of this by memory anyway. And so do that. I was teaching along these lines years and years ago, probably 20 years ago, not on the Lord's Prayer, but on memorizing scripture and the importance of it. And somebody who had just been saved at our church invited me over for dinner, and I had gone over, and they had taken it to heart. I mean, every cabinet door, their microwave, the refrigerator, all over their home were cards that they had posted scriptures. And it was a little bit overkill. I mean, I appreciated that they took it to heart, but it's pretty much they just pasted the Bible everywhere. And it, obviously that's good, but the more you can chew on one verse of scripture, like I remember a season of my life where I had an hour drive to work and the Lord told me, I want you to memorize Psalm 91, the whole thing. And I put it on a card, hung it from my rearview mirror. And every day on that hour drive, I would pray it. I would meditate on it. I would read it. And what was happening is it was coming alive on the inside of me. And over the years, well, that's that's live TV. But over the years, you know, you get that on the inside of you and you can revert back to it. Why? Because you've chewed on it. It became part of you. So would you work to memorize the Lord's Prayer over this week with me? I would suggest to you that you would pray it 3 times a day over the next 4 days. I think it's interesting that both David and Daniel made it their custom to pray 3 times a day. Actually, this verse of scripture in Daniel chapter 6, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days." I've heard this taught that, you know, in response to the king's decree that no one should pray to him, he went home and prayed 3 times a day. But the scripture actually says that this was his custom since the early days. So some things you could do is you could set an alarm on your phone. Again, make it your screensaver, get creative with it. Set an alarm for, you know, we'll be here at 8 o'clock in the morning to do it with you. Do it at 12, do it before bed, but pray it, memorize it, pray 3 times a day. So anyway, back to the scripture. One of the most dangerous things about this prayer is actually, I think, how well known it is. Why? Because when something becomes too familiar, it breeds contempt. But that's only if we let it, right? So we have to push in and say, you know what? There's truth in this prayer. We're going to grow in this prayer. I'm not going to let it just be words that I know, a religious activity that flows off of my tongue. I'm going to pause. I'm going to say it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to mean it from the bottom of my heart. I'm going to let it sink down into the taste buds of my soul, if you will. But to only recite it religiously doesn't really do much, right? It doesn't do what it came to do. Actually, there's another verse of scripture in Matthew 6:7. It says, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that if they that they will be heard for their many words." And that was actually one of the reasons that Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, was to fix the heartless prayers that people were spouting off that was based out of mental reasoning, right? And it's faith, not the length of the prayer, right, that will give you prayer strength. I mean, you can pray for 5 hours that you're just muttering stuff off the top of your head, and it's not coming out of your spirit. It's not coming out of your heart. It's just you're doing it to do it. But it's when you could say a 2-second prayer out of the core of who you are, and come on, that gets the attention of God. So we pray out of faith, not length. That's what gives our prayer strength. I almost think sometimes, like, you and a new believer comes in and they're like, "Well, I don't want to pray. I don't know how to pray." Sometimes I think the less you know how to do it, the better you are at it. Because for some reason, the longer we stay in the church and the longer we, are Christians, we learn some things. We in a way, it's great. We grow. We learn some things. But then sometimes it flows out of our religiosity. And God's just saying, "Listen, open up your mouth. Just talk to me about your day. Tell me what's going on. I don't need eloquent words." Like, our words don't impress God, right? It's just when it flows out of our heart. Like, you know, it's almost like when you're drowning, right? And you call out for a lifeguard. You're not yelling, sir, if you don't mind, could you look over here? No, out of the core of who you are, you're lifting up your voice and you know, I need help here, right? So it's not about, you know, praying the Lord's Prayer to recite something. It's about getting this pattern down into our spirit. It's about learning the power of it, knowing the structure of it, and meaning it from the core of who we are, right? So I want to break down the Lord's Prayer for you just a little bit, and that's what we're going to do over the next few days, find some life in it. But the Lord's Prayer is really broken down into four categories. Number one, designation. Number two, celebration. Number three, anticipation. And then finally, consecration. And I want to look a little bit at this designation, how the Lord's Prayer is opened. And again, if we're just looking at religious words, it seems like Jesus is just spouting off a religious prayer. But really what he was doing was groundbreaking in his communication. He gave a revolutionary statement when he said, "Our Father who art in heaven." Because in the Old Testament, in this culture, and in this day, God was only referred to as three names: Elohim, which means the strong one; El Shaddai, which means the mighty one; or Yahweh, which means I am that I am. And in this culture and in the Old Testament, they had such a reverence for God's name, so highly that they wouldn't even write it out. If they had to, for some reason, put it on like stone or tablet or in that context, they would remove the vowels from it because they just felt like it was so reverent and so mighty that they wouldn't even just lessen it by writing it on paper. And again, I think sometimes in our culture, we use the name of God so freely and, you know, liberally that sometimes I think we could use a little bit more of the fear of the Lord in that regard. But what Jesus did is he came in the midst of that culture, in the midst of that context, where his name was reverenced so much that this Elohim, this Yahweh, this far distant God that we wouldn't even consider to write his name on paper. And he comes in and says, "Our Father who art in heaven." Now, to translate, that word is actually Abba or Daddy. So he comes in and says, "Our Father, our Daddy, our Abba." And Jesus revolutionized the faith with this prayer. Because again, he took a name that was so far beyond them and out of their reach that the common average person wouldn't even dare to pray. Prayers were reserved for the religious elite of the day who were holy enough and righteous enough and knew enough eloquent words and had the stature to pray the Lord's Prayer. And he just comes right in the middle of it and says, here's how you pray. My Father, my Abba, my Daddy. That was groundbreaking to them, that this God could be referenced as a father, as a daddy, as somebody close. Jesus changed our relationship with God forever. It put adoption on the table for the lost sons and daughters of God. That's why John 1:2 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." It took Jesus to open up this possibility. Jesus gave us the right of sonship and daughtership, right? He broke the barriers, if you will. What's interesting is this is the only one time in Scripture that Jesus ever addressed God as anything but Father. And that's when in Matthew 27:46, and he says, about the ninth hour, he cried out in a loud voice saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" as he hung on the cross. It was in that moment that Jesus became sin and took our place, that he experienced the distance that should be ours so that we could experience the nearness that he had. Do you see that? He said, "Listen, I will call him God on the cross as there's a distance between God and the sin that was placed on Jesus. But he said, when you pray, you come in my name and you call him Father, because through the cross, he's become close. Through the cross, we have become prodigals. Through the cross, we can find what Hebrews 4:16 says, that says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. So when we say our Father in heaven, come on, it speaks of intimacy. It speaks of a closeness that we have with God. But what's interesting is he's not only in heaven, but there is nowhere that he isn't. He is where we are, but he is where we aren't. Come on. He's where we're going to be. He has a perspective that we don't have. We can trust the bigness of who our Father is. Bible says he goes before us and makes the crooked path straight. He's been in our future, but yet he knows our history, but he doesn't forsake us in our present. That's the power of praying to our Father. Why? Because it's the bigness of our God that has come close. The second piece of this prayer was the celebration. We use the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The J.B. Phillips translation says, may your name be honored. To honor something is to celebrate it and designate it as special. It is his name that has been given all power and invested in that name. So how are we doing as PR agents with the name of Christ? Why? Because as Christians, we bear the name and represent him to the world. We have become his royal representatives. We live in a distant land, but we represent the kingdom of God. So how do we honor? How do we celebrate? How do we hallow his name? Well, it's answered in the next two lines. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we are going to represent him, and we have to focus on his kingdom coming, and seeking to do his will. His kingdom coming and seeking to do his will. I talked in a message recently, but the reason why we do what we do as believers is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. We pray for the sick. Why? Because there's no sickness in heaven. So when we pray for the sick on the earth and believe to see them healed and recovered, what are we doing? We are bringing the kingdom of heaven that has no sickness nor disease and enforcing it in the earth. The kingdom of heaven has no nakedness or hunger. So when we feed the hungry and clothe the naked, when we support the orphans and the widows, what are we doing? We are making earth look a little bit more like heaven. We are enforcing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So how do we honor the name? By making his kingdom come on earth. That in everything we do, say, act, look, you know, every conversation, we should never forget that we are representing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. The third thing is anticipation. Anticipation is what will rise in your heart when you are looking for his promises to be fulfilled. It's literally a prayer for the return of Christ. That there would be no more pain, no more suffering, that earth would look like heaven. And I believe that to the degree that we look forward to heaven, look forward to his kingdom coming, it will give us the traction on how we live now. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The final format of heaven is when heaven and earth are fused together like it was in the Garden of Eden. When heaven arrives, come on, it will be worth it all. You need to know that today, that the King is coming. And until he comes, we are called to enforce the kingdom of heaven here on earth. God's kingdom isn't just a place. Come on, it's a relationship. It's a life. And Luke 17 teaches us that. It says, for they will say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's a prayer for the kingdom of heaven to come into people's hearts. Come on, the kingdom of heaven is in you now. The question is, will we let it out? Will we expose it to the world? Will we shine it in front of all men? And then finally, the consecration. Matthew 6, 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praying for his kingdom to come eventually will motivate us to do what we can do initially. I believe that the purpose of prayer then is not us getting our will done in heaven, but asking for his will to be done here below. Come on, I think this is the most powerful thing that we can get, because 90%, I believe, of our prayers is, Father, let my will be done in heaven. Let my will be done on the earth. But Jesus is saying, listen, reframe. This is about kingdom. This is about his will being done, his kingdom coming on earth, his name being celebrated. And it reframes our perspective. It's no longer about me, but it reframes our mind before we ask for our things. We're saying, whatever you want, that's what I want, God. Whatever you want, that's what I want. Whatever you need to ignore or pretend that I was saying. So to say no overall to a prayer, God, do what you have to do, because I want whatever it is you want. Why? You might be saying, well, doesn't God want us to have the desires of our heart? Yeah, but listen, the Bible also says that we see through a glass rather dimly. We don't see the full picture. Sometimes the things that we think we want, God can look in our future, because remember, he's our close father, but he's the father that's in our future. He's the father that's in our history. And he can say, I know you think you want that relationship now, but I'm looking into the future and I see that person, that man, that woman is not who you think they are. Come on, you're praying that God brings the friendship back into your life. And God's saying, listen, I've seen the conversations that they had behind your back when you weren't in the room. And I'm letting you know, I'm going to say no to that prayer. And you're going to not understand. You're going to feel discouraged. But if you just trust me, because you see through a glass rather dimly, but I see the full picture. Come on, you've been wanting that promotion and that job interview. And God sees the economy that's coming, and that business is going to be the first to fall. And he's got something better in mind for you. So he says, you see through a glass rather dimly. So the greatest thing that we can learn to pray is not my will, but yours be done. Like there's that old saying, I have what she's having, right? Like I have what he's having. He's been to our future and he knows what it is that we need. So thy will be done in earth, in me, as it is in heaven. God formed Adam from the dust of the ground. So when he says, let it be done on earth, it's a prayer for let it to be done on the inside of me. I'm from the earth. We can choose to make sure his will is accomplished in our life. So my encouragement for you this week is, when you pray, at least one of the times, pair this with your own thanks and praise. Pray the Lord's Prayer as you pray and give God thanks. Pray through the Lord's Prayer. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Recommit your prayers. Father, this isn't about me getting my agenda list done. This isn't about you answering my needs, wants, and desires. This is about me saying, Father, reframe my desires. Reframe my wants. Let me desire what you desire. Let your will come. Let your will be done in me as it is in heaven. Not me, but you. Martin Luther said, I drink of the Lord's Prayer like a child. I can never get enough of it. To me, it is the best of all prayers. So this week, would you commit to memorizing the Lord's Prayer with me? And would you commit to be like David and Daniel and pray three times a day? We're going to pray right now, but on your lunch break, take a minute, pray through the Lord's Prayer. Pray whatever in your heart, and before bed, take a minute and pray. So we're going to lean into this week, discovering some of these powerful truths found in the Lord's Prayer and setting new rhythms. And this fall season, as kids are going back to school, and you know, we realize that these, you know, this is kind of the rhythms. We get back into those patterns and rhythms as we do. Like, I just had a conversation with my wife, Sarah, yesterday and said, you know, we always do devotions with our kids, but I said, you know, sometimes it can be a hit or miss. We need to refocus, especially during summer. It's like, you know, we always had a certain time, but some of the kids fell asleep. Vacation messes things up. I said, we're going to move it and we're going to do it right before dinner. Nobody's touching their plate. Nobody's eating anything. Nobody's doing anything until we first make sure we get through our devotions, pray together as a family. Why? Because I'm trying to set these healthy patterns. You know, we redid their whole chore chart like this week to make sure as they're going back to school, they're setting those patterns back into their life. And as we're doing that, as we're readjusting, let's make sure we're including prayer three times a day into the pattern, the rhythm of our life. And that's not a legalistic thing. It's just saying, let's get a healthy pattern. Let's do the best that we can. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you. We thank you for this prayer. We thank you that this prayer is a guide and a template for us to learn how to pray. Helps us keep our focus where it needs to be focused. And Lord, as we discover today, your name is holy. Your name is hallowed. Your name is to be celebrated. And we thank you, Father, that you broke through that mold and you revealed to us that sonship and adoptionship was available to us through the cross, that no longer would you be a God far out in the distance, but we could come boldly to you and we could say, Father, Abba, Daddy, because of the cross. So we honor your name, we celebrate your name, we represent your name. Today, Father, we ask that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done in us, in me, and in my life today. Let your will be done in my home today and in my job today and in my family today. Let your will be done and let your kingdom come. Would you remind us today that everywhere we go, every conversation that we have, every word that we speak, the kingdom of God dwells mightily on the inside of us, and where we go, the kingdom goes. And we give you praise and thanks for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, thanks so much for being on with me today. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 8 a.m. And have an amazing day. Remember, the kingdom of God is in you. He goes with you everywhere you go. Well, remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.